It's nice to be with you tonight, and I'd like to thank Colin for the invitation to come along, and also your minister. And I'd just like to thank Claire for coming down to sing, and Anne for playing, and Ian for coming down with them. If you have your Bible with you, will you turn with me, please, to Hosea chapter 13. Just want to read one verse with you. It's verse number 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Sorry, I seem to have read that before everybody's found the place. Sorry, Hosea's one of those difficult books to find. I'll just read it again. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And tonight I'm going to tell you about how I had destroyed myself, how I had nearly destroyed my life, my body, and my mind by taking drugs, and how I found help in the Lord. I was born and brought up in Ballymena, or as you say in Korean, born and reared in Ballymena. I was the eldest of four children, and I was very privileged because I grew up in a home where both my parents loved us and worked hard to care for us and to provide for us. But more importantly, both my parents were saved. Both my parents had trusted the Lord. And you know, the most important thing Mum and Dad ever did for us was to pray and to teach us about the Lord. I can't ever remember a time in my life when I didn't know about God. Just before my fourth birthday, I can remember very clearly asking the Lord to save me. It's amazing, you know, what young children can take in. Sometimes we don't give them credit for what they can understand. And I knew at that time that I was a sinner and that my sin would keep me from ever being in heaven. And I also knew that the Lord could come back at any minute, and I knew that if he did, that I wasn't ready to meet him. I wasn't saved, and I knew that I didn't want to spend all of eternity in hell. So I know that without a doubt that I was saved at that age. I was saved that day, and that the Lord has never left me since. As a young child, I went to Sunday school and I went to children's meetings Wednesday night and Friday night, and I loved going to the children's meetings. I really loved hearing about the Lord. But unfortunately, as I got into my teenage years, I left the Lord out of my life. You know, that was the biggest mistake that I've ever made, and it's the biggest mistake that anybody can ever make, leaving the Lord out of their life. Do you know, at the time, I didn't even realise it, but I was discontent. I was unhappy. I was never happy to sit in the house in my own company. I was never happy to have, you know, a night just curled up on the sofa watching TV or doing anything like that. I always had to be out with my friends, and life always had to be busy and hectic. And I didn't even realise why. As a young teenager, I started smoking and drinking. And do you know, at primary school, I had always said I would never smoke. I was in the Smoke Busters team in primary school, and I can remember torturing my aunt and plaguing her, will you please stop smoking? She has now, but and then even when I started taking drugs, I started off taking drugs like cannabis and ecstasy and stuff like that, and I always said I would never take anything stronger. I said I would never ever take heroin. But you know, the devil's subtle, and he leads you into these things step by step. And you know, if the people around you are doing something, it becomes normal and acceptable to you, and it just doesn't seem just quite so bad. I left home at 17, and before long, I was introduced to heroin. didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I can remember hearing, no, it's a first-time addiction, but then people had that I knew had taken it, and they said, oh, no, it's not first-time addiction. It'd take a few times before you'd get addicted. And I believed them because it was what I wanted to believe. And it wasn't long before I was both physically and mentally addicted to heroin. Heroin's an extremely addictive drug. And I'm going to read you a quote here from the US Supreme Court. It says, boils and abscesses plague the skin. Gnawing pain wraps the body. Nerves snap. Vicious twitching develops. Imaginary and fantastic fears blight the mind. And sometimes complete insanity results. Oftentimes, too, death comes much too early in life. Such is the torment of being a drug addict. Such is the plague of being one of the walking dead. And I was in the grip of heroin. I was in the grip of my sin, and I didn't know what to do. And when my parents found out, they took me to the doctor. And the doctor told them to put me out of the house and to wash their hands of me. They told them, take nothing to do with her. She'll take everything you have. She'll destroy your family. And you're best to just get rid of her now before things get any worse. But my parents were saved. My parents were Christians. They had faith in God. And they didn't do that. They were there for me. They prayed for me. They didn't condone my actions, but they were there to tell me that there was a way back to God. The first time I ever come off heroin, my parents did a home detox with me, and I thought, this is it, this has been so difficult that I'm never going to go back on heroin again because I couldn't go through this again. But you know, it didn't last. Heroin came before everything in my life. If you had money, you bought heroin, you didn't consider food, it wasn't important. And at this time I was very thin. I've brought a pair of trousers with me to show you that my mum kept, because I think if you say it, it doesn't really make sense. I could hardly fit one leg into them now, never mind. And I was so thin that lying in bed, it was just sore. It was painful all the time. And I couldn't, I can't even imagine being that thin now. It just, but you know, heroin just took over my whole life. I was trying so hard to come off it, and I was miserable. Do you know, the Bible talks about sin having pleasure, but that it's only for a season. And it was only for a short season, and it wasn't long before I was so miserable and unhappy in my sin. Sin had taken me further than I wanted to go. I was breaking my parents' hearts. I stole from them. Do you know, I'm ashamed of it now. I can remember one time stealing my dad's checkbook and writing checks, fortune checks. And whenever I told him that I'd done it, I was crying and I was sorry. And I said to him, look, Dad, I've taken your checkbook and I've written checks. He said, he just put his arms around me and he says, don't worry about it, Pet, we'll get it sorted out. And I can remember that really speaking to me, because I was thinking, if my own father loves me so much, then how much more does the Lord love me and be ready to forgive me? And I was trying to clean my life up on the outside. I was happy to keep all my other sin. I wanted rid of the heroin, but I was happy to keep doing everything else wrong that I was doing. But I needed to come to the point where I was prepared to give up anything that the Lord told me he wanted me to give up. And the last time I ever took heroin was in June 2001. No, sorry, May 2001. And I actually took an overdose. And I don't really remember very much about it. But apparently the ambulance men told the people that were there that if they hadn't been passing at that time, that I wouldn't have lived for an ambulance to come from where it normally comes from. And I went into hospital at that time and I was in for about a month. But the day that I had taken the overdose, my dad had been at work in Campsie and my brother had phoned him from Ballymena to say what had happened. And he had phoned a friend of his to come over to the house and, you know, make sure everything was okay. And the friend that came over was really disturbed by what he had seen. And he said, I know of a Christian fella. I don't know him personally, but I know somebody who knows him who would be able to get in touch with him that might be able to help your daughter. And that friend of a friend was Chris Killen. He's a missionary with the Free Presbyterian Church and he works with drug addicts. And the first time my mum asked me, could Chris come up and see me in hospital, I said, no way, I wasn't interested, I didn't want to know. But then eventually, I was desperate and I was willing to try anything that would help me. And I said Chris could come up and see me, and Chris and his wife Linda and a fellow Ryan Smith that works along with Chris came up to visit me. And they kept coming back to visit me in hospital. And I couldn't understand this, because why would they want to keep come and visit me? I just couldn't understand why they were showing me love, because heroin addicts are notorious for hurting everybody around them and nobody wants to be anywhere near them. And these people kept coming up to visit me, and I knew they cared about me because they loved the Lord and the Lord loved me, and that he was standing with his arms stretched out saying, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And at this time I was very conscious that I had had so many chances. The Lord had kept me alive and preserved my life so many times, and I knew that I was my last chance. I was very conscious of that within my own heart. I had fear. And the Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. And if you'd like, I'll just read you a few verses from Jeremiah. I'll not ask you to turn to them. And it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I have, whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And at that time I prayed unto the Lord, and I really meant it. I wanted the Lord to forgive me and to change my life. And from I gave my life back into the Lord's hands that day, do you know he's helped me every day. I needed to repent and turn from my sin. I needed to leave my old life behind. I had to leave my friends behind. I moved to another town and started over. And you know, the Lord has been with me and blessed me in so many ways. Do you know, the Bible talks about the Lord restoring the years that the locusts have eaten, and he has done that and so much more. I thought with my history, with my past, the fact that I was a registered heroin addict and had been in trouble with the police, I thought I've no hope of ever getting a decent job, and you know my life's kind of ruined anyway. But the Lord, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I got a job in the hospital as a phlebotomist, taking blood, that means. And, you know, it's nearly funny because the skills that I had used, finding veins to inject myself with heroin that I had meant for evil, the Lord was able to take them and use them for good and to use them in a good way. So, and then while I was working in the hospital, I was given a secondment to become a student nurse, and I'm finishing in October. It's been a long, hard road. It's been nearly 5 years because it's part-time, but do you know, it's just amazing to think how far the Lord's brought me. And do you know, like, they even trust me with the keys to the drugs cabinet. And, you know, 10 years ago, that was unthinkable. do you know, there have been, it's not that life has been easy the whole time. There have been difficult times throughout it. But I can honestly stand here and say that through the difficult times, that was when the Lord carried me. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18 say, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite or crushed in spirit." And you know, there was a time, there have been times where I've been brokenhearted. My brother was killed very tragically in an accident in 2005, but I can say that I have never felt the Lord's presence and help so near than I did at that time. As I said, I knew whenever I give my life back into the Lord's hands that I had been dicing with death, and the Lord had kept me alive and preserved me and been so merciful unto me. It preserved my life so many times. Do you know, I was standing in Boots yesterday, printing some photos off the, you know, the machines that you go and print your own digital photos off. And I was listening to this young fella talking. And he was saying about, you know, his life was one big party. And he made some comment about, do you know, I don't intend to live very long anyway. And do you know, it made me remember, I can remember my brother foolishly saying that he wanted to live fast, die young and leave a good looking corpse. And he died at the age of 24. And do you know, he would, you know, he just had a baby daughter and his life, he didn't want to die at the age of 24. And do you know, I just urge you to just never think flippantly about your life. Your life's in the Lord's hands, and he gives life and he can take it away at any time. And you know, don't think that, well, that girl really needed the Lord in her life. Do you know, even Christians sometimes think, I could never go that far. But if you leave the Lord out of your life, whether you're saved or whether you're not, you could end up going just as far into sin as I did. Look at King David and Samson in the Bible. Please, if you're here tonight and you feel that the Lord's speaking to you and the Lord's challenging you, don't leave without sorting the matter out with the Lord. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be removed, and that without remedy." If the Lord's speaking to you, do not harden your heart. He's there waiting for you to come and put your trust in him with his arms stretched open wide. He's there, as in the verse I've read at the beginning, "In me is thine help." He can help you with any situation. There are two reasons why I've come here tonight to tell you all this, and it's not because I'm proud of anything I've done, because I'm not. But have you ever heard of the old Chinese proverb that says, "A fool learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from someone else's"? So the first reason that I'm telling you this tonight is maybe so that somebody else will be wise and learn from my mistakes and not their own. And as I've already said, the biggest mistake I made was leaving the Lord out of my life. You'll never find true and lasting contentment when you're far from the Lord. And the second reason is so that You will be amazed at the mighty power of God in my life. God has done so much for me, and he's blessed me in so many ways. I know of very few people who've ever come off heroin and stayed off heroin, and any that I know of, it's because I've had help from the Lord. And you know, the almighty, all-powerful God is in control of my life, and you can either be for him or against him. And I just trust and pray that you'll trust the Lord tonight and that you'll know his power in your life. He's done great things for me, and he can do great things for you too. There's a wee verse from a chorus. It's just a wee chorus that we sang at my brother's funeral. And I love the words of it. And it says, I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems great and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. I just trust that everybody here tonight will give him their all. Thank you.